Saturday, taking the $150,000 New Orleans Lassie by nearly 6 lengths. She went into the Lassie off a 10 1/4 length in the Tiffany Last Stakes. That was her first start since last June. Believe You Can has won 8 of her 12 starts. She's earned over $1,239,000 with early wins, of course, in the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, the Grade 3 Tempted, and the Silver Bullet Day Stakes. Believe You Can is one of two winners of the Kentucky Oaks by Proud Citizen, and her most recent win comes just days after Mark Valesky by Proud Citizen won the Grade 3 Mineshaft Handicap at the Fairgrounds. Believe You Can and Mark Valesky, winner last year of the Grade 2 Peter Pan, were two of the 12 2012 stakes winners by Proud Citizen. Earlier the same day, incidentally, Believe You Can stakes of stake, Believe You Can stakes win, Get in Line, a 3-year-old colt by Divine Park, ran a mile and 1:34 and change in a $30,000 starter. He's undefeated on the grass. Divine Park as a stakes winner, plus two more to place in stakes, two in graded stakes in his first crop. Both Proud Citizen, $15,000 live foal, and Divine Park, $10,000 live foal. Stand to Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and spring feels like it's in the air this morning. It's about 60 degrees out here, and we're at the clocker stand at the Thoroughbred Center, as usual. A lot of real busy this morning. How many works do we say have, Susie? 82 and growing.
Yes.
As we speak, I think we've got some more going on out here.
The fun part starts when she gets to go put them in the computer.
Well, they spared me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back when I was doing the clocking, they knew better than to ask me to put anything in the computer.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, anyway, what we're going to do today, Cormac Braddock is coming in. He's from Adena Springs. Of course, Michael Blowen and Doug Byram, our two regulars, would be here. We're at the mercy of Michael's driving, and he picks Doug up, and they get here at Michael's convenience, which is usually late. Steve Moody from Bloodstock Research Information Services is going to give us the winner of the stakes race down at the fairgrounds today. We're going to do some history. Hopefully, we get around to it. We're still looking at the champion three-year-old filly in 1957. I never got around to her, Bayou. Also, Bardstown, of course, the Calumet, Son of Alibi, and Dedicate by Prince Quillo. We'll see if we can't take a look at those two. Do a little Joe Palmer. And, of course, Jackie's announcements and so forth like that. Meanwhile, at the Thoroughbred Center, we're having, as I said, spring is in the air, and we're having a lot of winners from out here right now. Since last week's show, we have had 16 winners. And that phone you hear ringing in the background is the phone for the clocker stand. They're calling you, Susie. Anyway.
She's writing right now.
She's writing
patience.
Down another work.
Patience.
Anyway, the winners from last, well, I missed one last week.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Adele Loveland settled Frisco Executive to win down in Mountaineer on Friday night, and somehow or another I missed it, so I'm plugging Dale today, but he's not among the 16 that won since last week's show. Larry Lay won with 1-1 down at Turfway. Juan Rubalcaba won another one. Donald Hunt won with Fighting Xena. Paul Garcia. Ben DeLong. I don't know Ben.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Tommy Short.
Oh, okay.
Tommy Short.
Oh, okay. I was just informed that I do know him. Well, hell, I
don't. So there. Rides for Tommy Short.
Well, I know him when I see him. Okay, he rides for Tommy Short?
Yes. There goes something off 5/8, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Got well, it. Anyway, he won with, I remembered the horse, Compromise and I'm Not. And won, Rubalcaba won another one. Tim Hsu won one at Mountain. John Langemeyer at Mountaineer. Tommy Short at Mountaineer. Howard Rice won one. Bill Hickey sent one all the way up to Charlestown. Friday night and won a race up there, won an the eighth race up at Charlestown. Tim Hsu won another one. Hey, this one was at Oaklawn yesterday.
Oh.
Tim trains for Art Preston, and he does a good job with those horses. They look good and they run good, and you can't ask for any more than that. So, I'm sure the Prestons are very happy with that. Larry Lay. I won another one. Floyd Cobb won one last night at Turfway. And then Jimmy Cargan's back in action. I think he led up on everything over the winter, and he's just now starting to run them. He took two to Mountaineer last night. He won the first and the 10th.
Yay.
And so Jimmy's back in action. Jimmy's a high percentage trainer.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Even if he is Irish. Day tomorrow, incidentally. Is St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they're having a parade today.
Yes, they are.
Downtown Lexington.
Sweeping up the bodies after midnight, I guess.
I forgot about it. I'm wearing blue today.
Oh, no.
Well, at least I didn't put on orange.
No, so, that's true. Yeah. I didn't.
Jockey School has a float parade.
What,
Jockey School has a float in the parade.
Is that right?
What time does the parade start, do you know?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock? 1 o'clock. Something like that?
Bessie says.
Oh, that'd be fun to go down and look.
Yeah, we don't have to watch Kentucky play basketball today.
No more.
No.
Phew.
Yeah, they're still getting people down there fishing them out of the river while they're jumping off the road. The Clay Ferry Bridge.
Some of them jumped off.
Boy, did they stink it up last
off
night.
Off right out here God. On Paris Pike. All they got was wet.
Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, anyway.
Poor coach. I feel sorry for the coach.
Yeah, especially since they were so highly rated to begin with. He said at the time, you know.
Yeah. He said whoever ranked him was on smoking something.
Was smoking something That's, funny.
Yeah.
And he was exactly right. I'm kind of hanging around here waiting for Michael and Doc to show up. But anyway, I'll take a break here. Maybe they'll show up during the break. They're always late. It's not Doc's fault. Although he's a veterinarian, vets are usually late.
Absolutely. It's a part of the code. That's Vet Science 101. As soon as they get in vet school, you are always late.
Well, Tappet ranked fourth on the list of leading sires in 2012. Stud fee climbed to $125,000. One of Tappet's fastest sons is Trap Shot. Trap Shot won the Grade 2 True North by 8.5 lengths, at 6 furlongs and 108.4. He won the Waldorf Stakes in 109 flat. Carried his speed around two turns to win the $175,000 Long Branch Stakes. That's at Monmouth Park. Spinned 7/8 at Belmont to take an allowance race there, winning by 4 and 122 flat. Another allowance race by nearly 13 lengths at Gulfstream, going 6.5 furlongs and 16-1. And he sprinted 6 furlongs and 109 to break his maiden, winning by over 10 lengths at Gulfstream. Trap Shot also ran second in the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, beating Game On Dude. And that takes some doing. And Super Saver, and second in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt, he earned over $703,000. A half-brother to Grade 1 Stakes winner and millionaire Miss Shop from a great family, Trap Shot's first foals are arriving this year to rave reviews. Stands for $10,000. Doing a foal stands in nurses, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. He inquires to Bernie Sams and see the website. ClaibornFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Spring Venture and Spring in the Air, a pair of three-year-old fillies from the first crop by Spring at Last, finished 1-2 in the filly division of the $100,000 OBS Championship Stakes on March 11. These two are not strangers. Both are trained by Mark Cassie and both won graded stakes of two last year. Spring Venture defeated Spring in the Air in the Grade 2 $207,000 Natalma Stakes at Woodbine. She also won the Grade 3 $205,000 Mazarine Stakes. Spring in the Air, after finishing second to Spring Venture in the Natalma, came to Keeneland, where she won the Grade 1 $400,000 Alcibiades Stakes. Spring at Last had two other stakes winners in his first crop. Shawneen Girl won the Grade 2 Goldenrod Stakes at Keeneland and was second to Spring Venture in the Grade 2 Mazarine. And A Lover's Question won the Jamestown Stakes at Colonial Downs. Spring at Last was the nation's number one freshman sire among those that stood in the USA last year, and he was also the leading first crop sire stakes winners. Grade 1 millionaire Spring at Last stands at Windstar Farm, $15,000 doing the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, 859-873-1717. See the website. WindstarFarm.com. All righty. Well, I picked up my racing form this morning at the guard shack down here. And the latest edition, of course, of the daily racing form. Breeding insert was in there, and it's a very interesting, and they've got some really great people now running that. Mark Simon is in charge of that now. He's the editor of this thing. He's
the breeding insert, which is brand new.
Yeah, well, this is the second one, I believe, and the first one was good, and this one is also. And Mark, of course, was with the Thoroughbred Times for a number of years, you know, excellent writer, knows the horse business about as good as anybody. Another bonus is that Mary Simon is his lovely wife, and Mary is one of my all-time favorite writers, and she's got some articles in this week's edition that she's reviewing some of the top sires down at that are standing at down in Louisiana. This is a Southwest region edition, and it kind of pays for us to pay attention now what's going on in these other regions. I was talking to Burry Jones the other day, and he sent two nice horses down there. I was really disappointed when he sent the Yankee Gentleman down there, and because he's a top sire in Louisiana, and you wouldn't have any trouble filling him up here. He's done real well. Then he sent the Daddy down. And I checked up on the Daddy one time because every time I was getting my race results, I would find something by the Daddy winning. And then there's a piece in there also about the Daddy. So Burry sent a couple of really nice horses down to Louisiana Downs. I know Spendthrift Farm has sent some nice horses down there. And it's happening everywhere now. You see them going to Pennsylvania, to New York, and I hate it, but there you are. So you better keep up with what's going on. And this is a good way to do it. Glennie Keene, Oxford, Jackie, good friend of yours and mine, has got some articles in there, too, and she's another great writer. Heck of a reporter.
She
doesn't miss anything.
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's
so you better keep up with, if you want to keep up with what Glennie knows, and she knows a lot. You better buy that Sunday racing form. Comes out every Sunday, the breeding section in that. And there's some other great stuff in there. Joe Nibbles, writes about Mind That Bird, where he is and what he's doing now. I've got to read that. I haven't had a chance to sit down and read it because I just picked my edition up this morning. There's a piece in there about Three Bars and his influence on quarter horse racing. And, of course, he is a member of the American Quarter Horse Hall of Fame. Was foaled right up here on the Paris Pike, not 5 miles from where we are sitting right now, at Ned Brent's farm up in Bourbon County. And he was a pretty good kind of a racehorse. I looked him up at one time many, many years ago, but I still remember that he was won some nice races down at Oaklawn. But he's kind of the really one of the foundation sires of the American Quarter Horse. And of course, there's articles in there about the leading sires and everything. This in Louisiana, Mary Rampolini has written some nice stuff in there. And I want to catch up on mine and that bird. So pick up your racing form and the Sunday edition now, and you'll get it's going to come out every Sunday from now on. And with Mark Simon up there running things, it's going to be good. It will be good. All right, Jackie, you want to start doing some of your announcements? And
okay, I was just looking at the insert.
Yeah.
That you wanted to start when you were out there.
Many, many moons ago when I was with the Daily Racing Form, now this was back in the early 70s, I suggested that they start an insert pertaining to racing because, you know, at that time, the Racing Form had control of all the statistics.
Yes, and, the only game in town.
Yeah, so I thought that, you know, they could, you know, do really good with it, and I'm sure they're going to do good right now. I'm glad they finally decided that that they would do that. So they got profiles of leading general, juvenile, and freshman sires in Louisiana, and it's a picture of my Ned Bird on the cover, as a matter of fact. Color pictured.
At the horse park. You know, when Betsy Fishback was still doing a lot of stuff for the horse park, they started Bit and Bridle Restaurant, and it was kind of a club that I think you joined. But now I think you can just go in there and eat. It's in one of those old houses. It's back. Let's see. If you go in the main entrance and turn left instead of turning right, you can drive down there. It's on the left. Across from that major big barn and stuff like that. Anyway, it's Bit and Bridle Restaurant, and the food was good when I ate there, but so I'm just mentioning that. Today is the second of 3 days of what's called Road to the Horse. Now, this is the way it was explained to me. They used to do this in Tennessee. Now they're here for, I think, 5 years anyway. It depends on their reception. They take four trainers. Now, they're not racehorse trainers. They're quarter horse trainers. And they bring in horses that have never had a halter on. They're from four. What do you call that part of the United States down there where it's a four corners that's like New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and some other? I don't know, but they call it four corners. Anyway, they have.
Never heard it called that in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's 45 degree angle. Anyway, all of them. So anyway, they bring these horses in from there. Now, they're wild. And each trainer, I don't know how many trainers they've got, but they each get some horses. And they're allowed to work with them 3 hours at a time, maybe a couple times a day. And when they're not doing that, these trainers are open to talking to people that come in and all this, that kind of stuff. By the end of the third day, they are riding, jumping, roping, God knows what all. I mean, they said it's just an unbelievable demonstration of what you can do. So today is day two, and they had one of them yesterday, the girl. There's four guys and a girl that are in the, I guess they're the finalists, and she's in front. And they had a picture of her somewhere, Facebook maybe, I don't know, galloping one of these big pretty things. So that's today and tomorrow, and it's up close and personal, so it's a fun thing. Also today is Mid-South Pony Club Mounted Games Rally, if you want to go out and see. This is their first rally in the spring. The kids love it because all winter long they've been having unmounted meetings, which is testing and all that kind of stuff. Next week is Snowbird Dressage is on the 23rd. That's next Saturday. I guess that's the last of the Snowbird. And then they go to Summerbird. It's one where you go and you pick out a test, a dressage test, and you pay for the judges to watch and critique, and they run down the whole thing for you, which is just really nice. They've been doing that for several years. Julie Connelton does that. She's a dressage person, judge and stuff. The 27th is called a Youth Horse Festival. Now, I'm not sure what that is, but Paul Frazier Memorial Combined Test and Dressage Show is the 30th. That's in, gosh, that's in 2 weeks. That's a sign of spring. Absolutely, 100%. So that's pretty fun. My friend Nori Scheffel teaches riding and has a place out near us. It's straight out the Russell Cave. You better Google it. Scheffel Ridge Farm summer camps are coming up. There's a man camp June the 17th through the 21st. Yeah, it's on turn left on Hawkins Cummins, and it's down there on the right about a mile. Yeah, very good. Thank you, Holly. Then she's having a pipsqueak camp July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Then she's got a 2 foot plus travel adventure camp. That one, I think they're going to load up and go everywhere to ride. That's such a good idea. They're going Horse Park, Masterson, trail ride, somewhere fun. You know, a lot of different stuff. That's a fun idea. I'm glad she thought of that. And then she has a beginner camp, July 15th to the 17th. So Scheffel Ridge Farm is the name of the place. You can Google it. And check it out, because she's a nice girl, a lot of fun, and always has good summer camps. And it's so funny, they have a little tiny pond, and they have built, and it's not deep. You know how farm ponds are. And it's all cleaned up and everything, and they have a deck kind of a thing, what, like a dock down there, and the kids can go down there and wade and play around in that too. She's got a lot of fun ideas. She's very clever. She's really great at naming horses. She has a pony of ours that it was so fat that, and Betsy wasn't riding him, and he's kind of small, so we decided that he could be a good school pony, not for dead beginners, but for people that didn't have to ride too much. Anyway, Betsy called him Star because he had a star. She called him Fatty McButterpants because he was so fat. Isn't that cute? He was so fat, when it rained, he would have a puddle on his back where his spine was.
And he was a rescue, that thing was.
Yeah, he was another rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah, some kid had him a couple of counties over. And fed him mints one after another. Pony bit the kid one day, biting in his hand, and Daddy got mad and beat the living daylights out of the pony.
Going to send him to the killers.
Going to send him to the killers, and we found out, brought him home. And he's a wonderful pony. But he is no longer Fatty once was Fatty McButterpants, but he's a goodie. Anyway, he's over at Nori's. 9 of the 12 of Steve Haskins Derby Dozen. Now, this is March 16th. This is right up to date. 9 of the 12 were raised on products from Macaulay Brothers. Thank you very much. It's my lucky day. Revolutionary Vijack. That's the one that's the most, isn't he? I don't know. I think he's.
No, he's got. Who's he got on front, top there? He lists them in order.
Oh, he lists them. Okay, it's my lucky day.
It's his favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Revolutionary Vijack, Shanghai Bobby. Hear the Ghost, Flashback, Palace Malice, Normandy Invasion, and Super 99, all raised on products from Macaulay Brothers. And the thing about Macaulay's is they will come out and weigh your horses for you. Years ago, when it was feed foals, you know, they built creep feeders, which meant they were these little box affairs. The mares couldn't get in, the foals could kind of get in and eat. And then we had a great client who was a friend who was from Iowa, and he had a factory, and he would send his empty trucks east to pick up material for the factories and take them back to Iowa. So he started sending us the most beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous alfalfa you have ever seen in your whole life. And between the alfalfa and the feed, they all got epiphysitis because you can't overload them on that legume hay, you know. So anyway, they know better at Macaulay's. They know what foals ought to have. You really don't have to put up with that stuff. But in those days, it was feed them, and it was not a good idea. March, let's see, what's today? 16th, that's over. Masterson Equestrian Trust is looking for people to work their Masters in Equestrian Trust benefit Hunter Jumper Show. If you're interested, probably Google it and get on the webpage, because that's a fun way to do it. You'll be a part of it even if you don't have anything to ride.
Let me interrupt you and pay some bills here. Michael and Doc running late.
Yeah.
That Michael.
Maybe they're on old time.
Right.
Like, I'm with them if they are.
Right. John Wesley Marr, who, you know, owned a farm over Clarkland Farm over here many years ago, he wouldn't change the time.
Good for him.
And I remember him calling my father and Dad talking to him on the telephone. You know, he called up the Book of Meredith Spy Song. And I'd hear my dad talking. Now, John, that's going to be, you know, at 8:30, my time now, not your time. It's going to be on my going to be on daylight savings time. You know,
I'm with him. I like it if it starts in April, but I don't like this starting in March. It's stupid.
Well, closed hatches. 3-0 filly in the first crop of First Defense did what was expected of her on March 9 at Gulfstream. Labeled a rising star after her sensational 7 lengths debut at Gulfstream by the Thoroughbred Daily News, Closed Hatches led at every pole in her first start, around 2 turns to defeat a quality field that included Sweet Shirley May, a filly that had run second in the Grade 1 Spinaway, and third against the Colts in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Closed Hatches is being pointed toward the Gazelle. Bred by Millsack LTD, Closed Hatches is owned by Judd Monfarm and is trained by Bill Mott. And the day before, Mott had shipped New Line, another runner from the first crop by First Defense, to Tampa, where he was an impressive winner of a maiden special going a mile and 40 yards on the dirt. Second in his previous start in a maiden special at Gulfstream going a mile on grass, New Line, won going away by 5. So add his name to the list of horses to watch from the first crop by First Defense. Soon to return to action is the highly promising Dun Donnell, winner of 2 last year of Group 3 stakes in Great Britain. He also was a photo second in Group 2 stakes, ran a bang-up 4-for-14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Other recent maiden special winners by First Defense are Fire Garden at Gulfstream, Night Warden at Tampa Bay. First Defense won Grade 1 stakes sprinting on dirt. He's by Unbridled Song out of Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister, by Seattle Sloop to the top sire's Empire Maker in Chester House. Stands for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also is a Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 sire Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Spring Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, March 19th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Versailles Road entrance across from the airport. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 19th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
We're up to 90 now.
Well, am I up now again? Already? All right. Well, here are the ghosts. A 3-year-old son of Ghost Zapper, some 6.5 lengths back at the 8th pole, ran down the even money favorite Flashback to take the Grade 2 $300,000 San Felipe Stakes at Santa Anita last Saturday. Bred by Will Farish in the Lazy F Ranch and trained by Jerry Hollendorfer, here the ghosts will likely start next in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. The San Felipe was the 3rd start for Here the Ghost and first around 2 turns. He won his debut at Hollywood Park in December, by 3.25 lengths. Was a fast closing second in the San Pedro Stakes on January 21. They ran 6 furlongs in 8-2. And his San Felipe win stamps him as a major player for the Kentucky Derby. He is one of 4 2013 stakes winners by Ghost Zapper. No other sire has more. And 4 more have placed in stakes, including 2 last Saturday. Mystical Star in the Grade 3 Hillsborough and Ghost is Clear in the $145,000 Duncan F. Kenner at the Fairgrounds. Mystical Star won the Grade 2 New York Stakes last year and was one of 16 stakes winners, 26 2012 stakes horses by Hall of Famer Ghost Zapper. Ghost Zapper by Elite Sire, awesome again, stands for $40,000 live foaling to Dena Springs. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback, 859-987-1798, and see the website at AdenaSpringsStallions.com.
got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says...
All righty. Well, while I'm waiting on Doc, and what do you want, Mr. Lucas?
How you doing, sir?
All right. Somebody coming. You don't trust him. He's just looking for work. all right. Well, now I've been trying to do this for a while, and I know that Doc and Mike will be here sooner or later. Something is fun. But anyway, somebody gave me, and I think it was Michael Blowen, a Blood Horse magazine from Saturday, February the 6th, 1943. Got a picture of Mahmood on it. Of course, Epsom Derby winner. Over here at C.V. Whitney Farm, which is right next door to the training center. It's now Gainesway Farm. And somebody wrote a letter to the editor complaining about weight assignments on horses. And specifically, Ben Jones's complaint about them putting 130 pounds on one of his famous horses, Whirlaway. So I'm going to read it. It's kind of funny. And then I've got an article that was written by Joe Palmer. It kind of falls right in with this. So here we go. This is from the February 6, 1943, Blood Horse Magazine. Guy Butler's interview with Mr. B.A. Jones, published in the Miami Daily News and reprinted in the Blood Horse of January 23rd, is an illuminating commentary on the ethics governing the trainer of the world's largest money winner. On other occasions, Mr. Jones has been quoted as stating that there was no necessity for retiring Whirlaway, that the horse might well win another $500,000. The only interpretation to be placed upon Mr. Jones's remarks, as quoted by Guy Butler, is that unless Whirlaway is favorably handicapped, that is, with not more than 130 pounds, he will counsel Mr. Wright not to run the horse. Fortunately for the history of racing and the world over, competent trainers have never tried to train and handicap horses. Otherwise, some of the brightest pages in racing history would never have been written. To fight a few in this country, there are a number of performances that will make one scoff at Mr. Jones's weeping because Whirlaway has, on occasion, been allotted 132 pounds. As a two-year-old in 1897 in the Great Eastern Handicap, Hamburg won under 135, with Kitefoot 111 second. In the beaten field were Briar Sweet 109, Firearm 120, the Futurity winner, Liarlette 120, and Bolingbrook 115, all good winners. The bottom weight was Maximo Gomez 99. I saw Sir Barton as a three-year-old pick up one more pound than Whirlaway ever carried, 133, in the Maryland Handicap and easily whip Mad Hatter 106 with Audacious 118 third. The time for the mile and a quarter was 2:02 2. There was another son of Starshoot that was a pretty good weight carrier named Greylag. At three, he won the Knickerbocker Handicap, going a mile and a 16th under 135 pounds. Careful, 108 was second. And at two, Careful won 12 races and at three, 10 races. At five, Greylag carried 135 pounds to victory in the Suburban, giving 20 pounds to Snob the Second, winner of the Withers the year before. So, Mr. Jones thinks Whirlaway, winner of over $500,000, is badly treated if asked to shoulder more than 130 pounds. Poor Whirlaway, by his trainer's admission, the soundest horse that ever trained. It was a good thing the late Willis Sharp Kilmer and his trainer, Gene Whalen, did not see eye to eye with Mr. Jones. Otherwise, Exterminator would never have gained the reputation as he did. Greylag, by any standard, was a high-class racehorse, yet Exterminator, under 135 pounds, defeated Greylag 126 in the Brooklyn. Then his connection shipped the great son of McGee, out of Fair Empress, to Latonia and ran him in the Independence Handicap, a mile and a half, with 140 pounds. He was beaten, but not disgraced. That same year, Exterminator accepted the weight assigned him in the Kentucky Handicap, 138 pounds, and whipped Firebrand, the horse that later beat him in the Independence Handicap, carrying 119. Then 7 years old, Exterminator on 14 occasions carried from 132 pounds to 140 pounds. Alfred G. Vanderbilt and Bud Stotler never tried to dictate to the handicapper how much Discovery could carry. When this horse won the Brooklyn for the third time, he carried the record impulse of 139 pounds with Roman Soldier, a very good horse, under 126, the latter finishing third. The year before Discovery, at four, carried 139 pounds to victory in the Merchants and Citizens Handicap. And Stan Pat and Top Show, 117 pounds each, second and third. I dare say horses trained by Sam Hildreth were as heavenly burdened as any horse ever trained by one man. But Hildreth never rushed into print, crying over the injustice of it. He ran his horses at the weights allotted, and he won his share. It was a general opinion that Whirlaway was treated rather leniently when allotted 132 pounds in the Widener Cup. He should have had 135 pounds at least, and if Jack Campbell gives him an ounce less, provided he trains and races well in the meantime for the Suburban, Jack Campbell is not the handicapper that I think he is. Now, here come my boys, but I'm going to read this anyway. This was written by Joe Palmer, and this was upon occasion of, he was writing about Mr. Campbell when he was the honor guest at the Thoroughbred Club of America. Well, this year, for the first time, the Thoroughbred Club has elected a racing secretary for its honor guest. Naturally, it is John Blanks Campbell, who, since 1935, has been riding the races and weighing the horses in New York, and who before that had worked at virtually every track in the nation, including a half dozen of which you have never heard. Now, I don't want to start any trouble, you understand, but here's a chance for a racing secretary to say what he thinks about owners. Mr. Campbell, as may not be generally known, has a club of his own named the 130 Pound Club. It is composed of owners and trainers who begin to throw themselves about and squeal like a pig stuck under a gate if it is as much as 130 pounds is put on their champions. A peculiar anomaly exists here. If you go to an owner and say, "I think you've got the greatest horse I've seen for 10 years, he'll be very proud and pleased. But if Mr. Campbell makes this official by putting 138 pounds on the horse in a handicap, the owner runs whimpering into the underbrush. "Such a little horse," he sobs, pointing at a stout animal standing 16-1, eating 14 quarts of oats a day. "I'll mash him, that's what I'll do." Mr. Campbell does not know this because he wears a hearing aid, and when sobbing about weights breaks out, he turns it off. It will not break his heart. He's a very compassionate man, and he cannot endure sorrow. I have a roster of the membership of the 130 Pound Club in Mr. Campbell's own handwriting, and I shall arrange to have it published after he's no longer with us. Mr. Campbell was born on the Black River in Louisiana in a climate which he describes as being so bad that it took two alligators to live through one summer. As proof of the unhealthy nature of these surroundings, he celebrated his 75th birthday a few weeks ago. There's a sure way for a man to make approximately $5,000. Going to Mr. Campbell's office and with a tape recorder, encouraged him to tell tales of City Park, Tijuana, and Agua Caliente, and Douglas Park, and of other racetracks which flourished before racing decided it would settle down. The book would make about $200,000. The libel suits resulting would not detract more than $195,000 from this. That was written by Joe Palmer back in about 1950.
Sounds like he wrote it yesterday.
Sounds like he wrote it yesterday, exactly. Yeah. About time you got here. Wait a minute, I'm going to take a break and then get you guys on.
We got to get a different system. I got to get a different chauffeur.
Hey, see, you always blame the young guy.
Michael Bowen and Dr. Doug Bauer here.
Always the young guy, the youngest in the group, always gets blamed for everything. And I was on time. You tell him what happened. You tell him the truth, though.
Uh-oh.
Dr. Offenauer delayed us, and then he's going over to the horse park, to the rodeo thing.
Oh.
Not rodeo, but the colt.
Well, I understand you over yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Glenn Blodgett is the head veterinarian and manager at Four Sixes Ranch.
Oh, okay.
So I got to visit with Glenn quite a bit. We talked about first time I went down there to Four Sixes and worked on Dash for Cash.
Okay.
You remember we brought his pedigree and he's big time horse.
Big time quarter horse.
Yeah. Well, he's actually the thoroughbred.
Well, I know, but he's a quarter horse sire, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, well,
yep.
So was Three Bars. You know, there's an article in the new breeder section of the Dealer Racing Form about some quarter horses in there. It talks about Three Bars, so you better pick one up. Well, let me do this commercial.
Okay.
Well, Jazzle is the sire of three stakes winners in his first crop, two of them Group 1 stakes winners, one in Europe and one in South America. He has a listed stakes winner in Europe and two others are placed in stakes, the Fleet Sizzle and Najjar, the latter in the Arlington Classic. That's five first crop stakes horses. He also has an undefeated three-year-old over in France, incidentally, named, well, it's S-E-F-R-I, Seafree. Anyway, he hadn't been beaten over there. Better keep an eye on him because he's going in some stakes next. One of the best-bred young sires in the world, Jazzle, is one of two classic winners out of the Broodmare of the Year, Better Than Honor by Deputy Minister. His second dam won the Kentucky Oaks. His third dam was another Broodmare of the Year. Jazzle stands for $4,000 live foal at Shadwell. Home also of Albertus Maximus, De Hare, Interdob, Invisor, and Mustinfar. Albertus Maximum won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and the Grade 1 Don, and $1,328,230. His first foals were arriving this year. Grade 1 winner De Hare by Awesome Again from nine starters has eight winners, three stakes horses, including a multiple graded stakes winner. Graded stakes winner Interdob by Phone Trick. He's the sire of Hit Hard Hoof, a winner this year of the Grade 3 Toboggan, and also the True Blue Stakes, both of them, of course, at Aqueduct. Hall of Fame nominee Invisor is siring a solid 10% stakes horses from starters. Multiple graded stakes winner Mustinfar by Unbridled has six winners and two to place, one in stakes, and five of his six winners are multiple winners. So he inquires to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend Mr. Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Tack and Leather, the finest tack shop in the United States, probably in the world. They ship 17,000 halters a year. I mean, they mail out 17,000 halters a year. Now, that's pretty damn good. That's a lot of halters. And then they give about 17,000 of them away to old friends, I think.
What a great guy Ralph is. And that's before he's had the beer.
Is that right? Well, he hadn't opened up his beer joint down in Parrish.
No, I said later this spring, though. It looks like it might open.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
No, I think he's tearing the hell out of that building. It's right downtown.
I'm just saying what he told me. I don't want to argue with
it. It's right down on the corner of, what would that be, 10th? I forget the name of the street. I know.
Hard to find in Parrish. All you got to do is go there, go to 2nd Street, open up your window, and smell the beer.
They're
heading that direction. You'll know it's open.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's downtown. It's on the same street the post office is. Now, whatever that is. But I can't remember what it is. You know, I never look at street signs. I just put it around.
Well, tell him where Quillen Tack is. Anyway, I think you lost your train of thought doing this ad.
Well, Quillen Tack. Well, I get so excited about that beer joint opening. You know that Quillen Tack is in Parrish, Kentucky. You're going in if you're coming in from Lexington, just go straight toward downtown Parrish. Don't go on the bypass now. You'll get lost. And if you get lost in Paris, you got problems.
If you get lost, just ask Ursula for directions. He doesn't even know where the beer joint's going.
Well, anyway, good. Keep going to the third stoplight, I see. And look to your left, and there's Quillen Tack and Leather. It's a great tack shop, great gift shop, as far as that goes.
Great place, it really is. Ralph's a great guy.
All right.
If you can make it up to the second floor, go see him.
If you'll shut up, I'll do something for Warhorse Place over here.
Oh, fabulous. That's a nice place, too.
Where's this?
Warhorse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, they've got, you know, some really nice new stud horses over there.
Yes, they do.
Well, through 2012, Galileo had sired 140 stakes winners, 21 champions, and one of his 21 champions is Midas Touch. Midas Touch was a champion 3 years over his year in Ireland. And he was a Grade 1 performer not only in Ireland, where he ran second by a head in the Group 1 Irish Derby to another son of Galileo, Eclipse Award winner Cape Blanco. But he also placed in grade one stakes in Great Britain and Australia as well. He competed at the highest level wherever he was asked to run. Midas Touch's dam won stakes and placed in greatest stakes in the USA and in Great Britain. Superb individual, Midas Touch is standing his first season of stud for $10,000 live foal at Warhorse Place, home also of the first Deer Stallions, Mythical Power and Santiva. Yeah. Mythical Power is a multiple graded stakes winner with brilliant speed, seven furlongs and 120 flat at Santa Anita. and he's one of 10 stakes winners from the first two crops by Congaree. Santiva, never out of the money at two, won the Grade 2 Kentucky Gocky Club Stakes and was second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity, and he's by Champion Sire Giant's Causeway. Both Mythical Power and Santiva stand for $7,500. Doing a full stands in nurses, call Jerry Assinger. His number, it's an 859 number, 509-0053, or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives, including the Breed Secure program. See the website at warhorseplace.com. My guest for the top of the hour is coming in. I've got to get rid of these two guys, and then
it won't take long.
Okay, we're out of here.
We've had enough fun for one day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Doc, we'll do you first. What do we want to talk about today?
We finished off on corticosteroids, and you know they're wonderful and evil. You just have to get the right dosages, whatever. Well. Then we could slip into anabolic steroids because the testosterones and all of those things, they're also potent, evil, or whatever you want to call them. But, you know, they're very useful in building up a lot of these animals. They're appetite stimulants and mimic a lot of the stuff of corticosteroids. So, the male getting anabolic steroids is static. Their motor is pretty much constant, but the female, because of the cycling, you know, is not constant. So you rarely use a whole lot of anabolic steroids, but you do know that you're going to have estrogens and things like that in the female. We're going to slip on into non-steroidal, which means that the corticosteroids and the anabolic steroids are not part of this family. These are the drugs that are manufactured. So your Zantac and your Prilosec and Zantac and all those different drugs are used primarily for some well-being of the horse, but they're designed to block ulcers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even corticosteroids cause ulcers. So sometimes you take a horse that's been on a lot of bute and bantamine, and you need to get these other drugs utilized. So anyway, all of the non-steroidals generally tend to be ulcerogenic. And you're going to get ulcers in the stomach, once in a great while in the esophagus, and you can get them throughout the GI tract, different levels, but we're most familiar with the Zantac and the drugs that affect the upper GI tract.
Mm-hmm.
So the receptors in the stomach block what's called H2 receptor sites, and you give these anti-ulcer drugs to them to block the receptor sites, and so their H2 receptor sites are taken care of. And so your Zantac and those drugs are what you see on TV is common. Now, some of the ulcer products, a lot of the racing commissions wouldn't allow for them, or they didn't exist, and there was some controversy there. But it's pretty much sorted out. Prilosec is basically not an H2 receptor. It's a hydrogen proton absorber. So the acid that's in the stomach gets neutralized, gets moved out of there. Mm-hmm. You've got some,
and I'm supposed to understand all this.
Yeah, well,
pay attention.
Yeah. You want me to let Michael explain it?
No, heaven forbid.
Why is that so funny?
But these things
you
are
you give them some medicine, it gives them ulcers. So then you got to give them other medicines to fix the ulcers. Does that make sense?
It's pretty common that these drugs
spoken are like a true veterinarian.
So anyway, they're available, and I think probably the most controversial is the Prilosec or Ulcergar. And
now you said a word I recognize.
Yeah. So the Ulcergar is expensive. From the get-go, Gastroguard. So everybody tries to find a way for a
cheaper treatment.
Cheaper treatment. Yeah. They really haven't been able to mimic it. And the key to Ulcergard or Gastroguard is the carrier. So the drug is the same. But the carrier that it's got to go to the small intestine and be reabsorbed and blocks those hydrogen protons or the acid production, blocks that, and it does a good job, slower to.
Yeah, I just take a Tums.
Yeah.
No,
we take Prilosec.
I do? I take Prilosec? Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and what goes around comes around. So we're going back to Zantac and those drugs because they're cheaper. Mm-hmm. And so you'd say, well, we can give Prilosec once a day. Well, we don't mind giving them twice a day if they're effective. And now the percentage of those other alternative acid production blockers are probably around 70%. Prilosec is more like 90%.
Okay.
So you get more efficacy out of that. Now you get into the category of what we call compounding in all of these categories, and to be cheaper and use them differently. And you don't have a clue what you're really getting. You know, so if you get a drug that's supposed to take care of omeprazole or the Prilosec, and it's a different compound, well, there's no testing or studying to guide you on the well-being of the horse through drugs. And then compounding is a major problem all throughout the industry, whatever you're going to do. So it's moved a little bit into the lung categories because people are getting a little more astute to the health of the airway of the horse. But we don't have a whole lot of choices yet that are out there. But, you know, can you take something for asthma or something like that? Yeah, you can. You don't have a whole lot of use, and you don't identify much with it. So, anyway, it's just out there. But compounding is a major problem. Racing Commission has to deal with that. And they'll say, well, does this compounded drug act as a stimulant or depressant or affects racing performance? And a lot of them, you don't know what they're putting in there.
So they ban it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, very much what we'll cover. Just each of those things are monitored. Racing Commission has.
Okay. Meetings. Very good, Doc. All right. Let me, Michael, sit here and then let me know what's going on with old friends real quick.
Yes,
then we're
sir.
Going to get Cormac on.
Oh, the real quick part. I got the hint. That means get lost in this little talk and make it quick.
Well, Spendthrift Farms Popular Breed Secure Program is available to an impressive array of stallions. Let's take a quick look at them. Archar Charge was one grade one stakes, won stakes at 2 and 3, earned over $832,000. And he's by the Top Sire Arch. Dominus is a multiple graded stakes winner by Champion Sire Smart Strike, staying his first season at stud. Grade 1 stakes winner Lion of David is by Lionheart, a top 10 sire in 2012. From the family of Mr. Prospector, Notional, sire of a stakes winner in his first crop, is a multiple graded stakes winner by the sire of Indian Charlie. Patty El Prado won grade 1 stakes, earned over $1,721,000. He's by El Prado, sire of Kitten's Joy, Medalla d'Oro, Artie Schiller. Graded stakes winner and track record breaker Temple City is by Dinah Farmer, sire of 136 stakes winners. Tis Wonderful, an undefeated graded stakes winner, too, by the great Tis Now, has proven his ability to sire graded stakes winners in his first crop to two-year-olds last year. Tis Way, also by Tis Now, is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1,359,000. Warrior's Reward, also won grade one stakes, and he's by leading sire Medalla d'Oro. Wilburn, a graded stakes winner, is by the popular Bernardini out of a graded stakes producer, Moonlight Sonata. Outstanding prospects, all eligible for Spendthrift's Breed Secure program. Everything to gain, nothing to lose. Call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothaker at our Ned Toffee. Let me throw Ned in there. 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Want to talk a little bit about Lubricin? You know, the horse of the year trained on Lubricin. That's not too bad.
We use it for all the retirees.
Wise, Dan, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That's why Gulch is still running around like a kid.
I'm going to take some.
Mm-hmm. No. You should. I take it.
Oh, well, that's hardly any recommendation. but anyway. cancel out that last one. Can we, Ressie, can we edit out that last one? We put post this show on the website.
Lubricin's fabulous. I'm telling you, hopping over these fences every morning, I'm telling you, I can hop over them now. I don't have to crawl under them.
Okay.
Well, I'll do the Lubricin.
You know, they've got things called gates, you know, that you walk through. You don't.
Wow. Right. How long have you been married to this guy? Must be your marriage is based on sarcasm.
Getting back to Lubricin, it's 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. And it's really great to help with foals, you know, build up their immune systems, everything. But it's great for horses of all ages. And to find out more about it without listening to all this bull that I'm putting out here and Michael Bowen's putting out, go to the website. It's Lubricin, LUBRISYN.com. And they'll tell you all about Lubricin. It's a great product. Also, they'll tell you about that's Reborn. I should be talking about doing that. Reborn Lubricin
make fun of me today.
Yeah, well, hell, I got
you don't even know what you're talking about when you're trying to read the ads.
Well,
Lubricin is for the joints. It helps your knees. It helps everything
right,
else. That's right.
Okay,
that's
Reborn is the one that, you know, it's for, you know. Well, they put all these fancy names on this thing. Why don't you just say it's going to help with the colostrum, and that's what the Reborn does.
Yeah.
R-E-B-O-R-N-E.
Is and it's easy right? to digest for the horses, too.
Yeah, it helps the digestive state. That's the one that Wise Dan trained on. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
For helping with all this. So I want you to go to the website for these two products. They're great products. Don't ask me because I don't know what I'm talking about, but Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, and Jerry Hollendoffer and guys like that use it, and they do know what they're doing. So that's Lubricin or Reborne. And go to the website or give them a call, 800 number 901-9498.
You know, it's great, too. Alex Hassinger works for them. That's the former trainer. And he trained Denard, and Denard's retired our farm. He came to visit him.
Yeah, he came on the show a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago.
Fun He's to a talk nice to guy.
Him. Yeah.
in the new issue of the Blood Horse. Are you done? Can I talk for a minute?
No. I've got to take
Put me on the clock.
I got to take care of Pin Oak and then we'll...
All right, sorry. All right. Oh, I like those people at Pin Oak. They send us money and Clifford Berry's a great guy.
Okay. Are you through?
Yes.
All right.
I'm trying to help you out here. I'll do the lead into the ads. I'll be the Ed McMahon to the ads.
Clifford is such sucking up for more money. That's what it is. He's going to hit
we
you.
We have one of Clifford's horses. He broke Creator as a 2-year-old. Creator's now 28 years old. Give you an idea.
Clifford. Well, he was just a kid then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was in France, obviously. I guess so.
England.
Well, he's a French-bred horse, isn't he?
No, he's a son of Mill Reef. He was born in England. He raced in France, and that's where he made his reputation.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I remember his reputation.
You're not allowed to contradict
the host. I'm sorry. I broke the cardinal rule of contradicting the host. Oh, my God.
Well, the host is all wrong most of the time anyway. Well, March 9 at Oaklawn, the grade $350,000 Razorback was won by Cyber Secret, a 4-year-old Cobra Broken Vow. Bred by Paragon Farms and trained by Lynn Whiting, Cyber Secret's undefeated in 3 starts at Oaklawn this year. $100,000 sales yearling, he's earned over $252,000 now. He's one of 4 2013 stakes winners by Broken Vow, the third-ranked sire of 2012 stakes winners, with 19 plus 9 others to place in stakes last year. That's 28 black type horses in a single year. On March 11, Conquestor, a 3-year-old by Broken Vow, he's a colt, he's bred by Shell Tower Farms and Pin Oak Stud, was an easy winner of the Colt Division, the OBS Sprint Stakes. Conquestor is a $475,000 sales graduate owned by John Oxley and trained by Mark Cassie. And incidentally, a Broken Vow 2-year-old bought $370,000 at the OBS March sale just the other day. The Broken Vows win sprinting, win going long, win on every conceivable type of racing surface. They compete at the highest level, and that's why his 2012 sales yearling sold were up to $500,000, and his 2012 sales 2-year-olds were up to $475,000. He stands for 25,000 live foal at Pin Oak, whom also Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. Cowboy Cal, incidentally, had a first crop 2-year-old sold for $410,000 at the OBS March sale. Inquiries of Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens. See the website at pinoakstud.com. Whew. All right, Michael. Say it fast.
I will. Well, in the new issue of the Blood Horse on page 42, there's a nice article on Jonathan Shepherd, and it has a picture of him visiting Stormcat at Overbrook, and he's wearing an old friend's hat.
Yeah,
I see. Picture. It's like you have to look pretty closely. And then Joey Steiner, the jockey, won a race the other day at Santa Anita. He wears old friends on his pants, old friends thoroughbred retirement. Barbara Livingston sent me the pictures. So that was nice.
Oh, that's pretty
good. Yeah, the horses are doing great. They're having a great time this time of year. Running around.
Grass is starting to come.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm about to run out of hay.
Yeah. But we're still feeding hay, so if anybody has any hay they don't know what to do with, just call me. We'll take care of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to take care of their extra hay problem. I notice it reached epidemic proportions.
I'm down to about 40 bales, so you're not getting any of mine.
But everybody's doing really, really well. We had a nice meeting with Daily Racing Forum this week. And
oh, say, I was talking to them the other night. Mm-hmm. They're going to do your magazine again.
Yes. Yeah, very nice. And we're going to put Sarava on the cover. It's going to be a celebration of Sarava's Belmont Stakes victory.
Oh, they're going to put him on the cover, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Barbara's going to come back and take some more pictures.
They'll be good ones. Boy, she's good. She's got a knack.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. She works so hard. I mean, she's there all the time. I don't know how she does it. I mean, you go to Saratoga before dawn, and she's there, and you're there a little late. Then you're there until dusk, and she's still there. I mean, and then she's got to do it. You know, she's got to edit all the pictures and do all that kind of stuff. And
one who develops all her film and everything.
Barbara. Well, they don't develop film anymore. It's all digital.
Yeah, it's digital.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's also in color.
They have color. No.
They have color. Yeah.
My TV's not.
Yeah, really. He's taking pictures of his black and white TV with a brownie.
I've got a little brown, you know, it's a little red box. And I'm like, yeah, it's a brownie.
That's good. That'll do it.
That's what I've been using for a couple of years now.
There you go.
Hey, I want you to know I finally got off my manual typewriter, though. I'm up to an electric typewriter, but I'm not going to type anything on a computer.
It's amazing.
I can't handle that, I tell you.
It's all that new technology. It gets confusing.
Well, it's got one of those things that corrects the spelling, and I don't like to fool around with any machines that are smarter than I am.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't even use a phone anymore.
All right, you guys. All right.
All right.
Doc, don't let him get you in here late anymore. You know, I mean,
I knew I was going to get blamed.
I have no control over this.
I showed up early.
Variable now.
He was conducting a business deal.
A business deal?
Yeah. It took him a long time.
I thought
time.
You were retired, Doc.
No.
No.
Are you kidding?
If I can get a chance to get away to a farm and without Michael.
It's brutal today, isn't it?
All right.
I should just give him the keys, let him drive home. I'd rather walk and listen to this all the way back there.
Poor Michael.
Okay, well, thanks, guys.
Oh, Ursula, this is my friend Jim.
Hey,
he's got a present for you. He's got a present for you.
Got a present from
Gallery of Champions, the horse racing memorabilia.
Oh, yeah. You've been here. What you got? Oh, Secretariat. Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Signed by Ron Turcotte.
Ron Turcotte signed it.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. Gallery of Champions.
How about Nicholasville?
Jim Evangelou. Did you move your office yet?
Yes, I'm on the drive now.
Sit down a second.
All right.
Right here. Just a second. You're the Gallery of Champions. You're on 3647 Winthrop Drive. Now, where is Winthrop?
Right off of Man of War near Nicholasville Road.
Off
of Nicholasville Road.
Oh, okay. Well, this is gorgeous. And you got an art studio, is that right?
Yes, I have a home gallery and frame shop there, yeah.
And you specialize in?
Horse racing, photography, and collectibles.
Okay. Very good. Mm-hmm. Jim Evangelou. And this is a gorgeous thing. Your Secretariat, 40th anniversary of the Triple Crown. Is it a bit that long?
I know, hasn't it? Used to be that 25-year gap back in from 48 to 73 was considered forever.
Seems like yesterday. Yeah, well, see, you got the program. Two programs? No, that's the Kentucky Derby. Derby.
One from each race.
The Preakness and the Belmont Stakes and the photograph of the Preakness, the Belmont. I thought his Preakness was just about as impressive as the Belmont. Or did you, Cormac, sit down?
I just realized they had the Penny Chenery and the Maryland Jockey Club had a commission a year ago, and they actually changed the final time of the 73 Preakness. And made it a new stakes record. I was wrong in all my things all these years because I had what was originally considered the correct time, and I just found out I had the wrong time.
All the people that had Canyonero complaining. They're having rides in Venezuela.
Yeah, really. They didn't have field.
They got the Pope. Oh, no.
Oh, they've got. No.
Sorry.
What? Where's the Pope from Argentina?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, what the hell? One of those South American countries.
One of those places.
They all speak Spanish except the Brazilians, and I don't know how they got into Portuguese, but there you are. Well, this is wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
I ought to put it up right here in the clocker stand.
Yeah, they make great gifts for your guests, maybe.
Make gifts? Okay.
For your guests.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you never know.
They would make good great gifts.
Absolutely.
How much do you charge for these things?
That particular item, this item here, sells for $150 on my website, including delivery.
Buck and a half.
Yep, signed by Turcotte.
No, it's $150. Yeah.
Is that what I said? A buck and a half? Oops, my mistake.
You said $150. I took advantage. Took advantage of. Oh well, that's great. Yeah. You know what? This is so valuable and everything. Would you mind if I donated it to old friends where they could auction it off?
Actually, I already donated them on the donate stuff, including this to them already.
Oh,
donate
you did.
This to yourself.
Pardon?
Donate this to yourself.
Oh, well, fine. That's wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And if you're interested in donating to your guests, give me a jingle.
All right.
And I appreciate it, though. And, you know, I find myself, you're the only show I know that, even though I don't get radio in my home, I'm out burning up $4 a gallon gas to listen to you on Saturday mornings now.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I make sure I run all my errands between.
Well, won't your radio turn on without running the motor?
No, I'm driving around. Sometimes I just keep driving.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. That's quite very nice of you.
No problem.
And everybody wants to stop by the shop and see what he's got for sale out there at Gallery of Champions. And it's 3649 Winthrop Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, Jim. Appreciate it.
All right. You have a great day.
Whoops. All right. Karmic, I'm going to get to you. Okay. I got to catch up on my commercials here. Then we're going to have you on the air.
Okay.
Sooner or later. Well, Munning sprinted 7 furlongs and 1:23 to win the Grade 2 Woody Stevens at Belmont Park, posting a 1:10 buyer. Bettered that in the Grade 2 Tom Fool with 111 buyer. In the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Sprint, his buyer was 103. He is considered to be the fastest under champion sprinter Sprightstown. Munnings placed in 6 more stakes, the Grade 1 Champagne, the Grade 1 Hopeful, the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, the Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 1 King's Bishop, and the Grade 1 Carter. He was Grade 1 placed at 2, 3, and 4, competed at the highest level. Sprightstown in 2012 climbed to number 3 on the list of leading sires. In fact, he ranked 2nd only to 3 times leading sire Giants Causeway among those that stud in North America. Out of the multiple graded stakes winner, La Compete, the daughter of Holy Bull and Grade 1 winner and Grade 1 producer La Guerriere, Munnings was a $2.7 million 2-year-old purchase. His first foals of yearlings sold for up to $160,000 at Keeneland in January. Stud fee $10,000 doing a full stance of nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Call the farm 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXG Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville! What price they'll cost?
Well, I believe you can edit another stakes victory to a resume last Saturday, taking $150,000 New Orleans Lassie Stakes by nearly 6 lengths. She went into the Lassie off her 10.25 length in the Tiffany Lass Stakes, her first start since last June. Believe You Can has won 8 of 12 starts, earned over $1,239,000. Earlier wins in the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and the Grade 3 Tempted. And Silver Bullet Day Stakes, I Believe You Can is one of 2 winners of the Kentucky Oaks by Proud Citizen, and her most recent win comes just days off the after Mark Valesky, by Proud Citizen, won the Grade 3 Mineshaft at the Fairgrounds. Believe You Can and Mark Valesky, winner last year of the Grade 2 Peter Pan, were 2 of the 2012 stakes winners by Proud Citizen. Earlier, on the same day, the Believe You Can stakes win, Get in Line, a 3-year-old colt by Divine Park, ran a mile and 1:34 and change in a $30,000 starter allowance. He's undefeated on the grass. Divine Park has a stakes winner, plus 2 more to place in stakes, 2 in graded stakes in his first crop. Both Proud Citizen, 15,000 live foal in Divine Park, 10,000 live foal, standing Mr. and Mrs. Brereton, and Sedona's Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right. Well, I'm talking to Karmic Braddock now. I tried to pronounce your
you got it.
Your Gaelic name.
Yep. It's Irish for Walsh, W-A-L-S-H, or Welsh.
Oh, okay. So it's, Connor McCarthy asked me to say that to you. Connor, don't you?
I do.
You?
I know him well, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I was telling him about your name, trying to get it straight. Just tell him it's Walsh.
Yeah.
He never misses a trick. Does
no, he doesn't.
Got
no, he
he's
doesn't.
A good blacksmith.
Very good.
He's been doing our stuff for, back when we were training. He did our.
Right.
Huh?
Since he got here.
Since he, yeah, right? Badly, yeah. Since he got off the boat.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You want to tell us how long that's been?
since he started doing our horses, I guess back in the 90s.
Way past the statute of limitations.
Well, it is. All right. Karmic works at Adena Springs.
That's right.
What's your title? You got a title? You give people titles down there?
I just say nominations. That's what I do, is sell seasons to the stallions with Jack Brothers, who works off the farm, and Eric does some as well. Eric Hamelback on the farm.
One of my sponsors, by the way, you guys.
That's right. Yeah. Proud sponsors. I think Eric's called me the director of breeding services.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the overall thing. I'm booking mares as well this year, and we're off to a flying start. So,
well, you should be.
Yeah.
We started out doing spots for you all whenever one of your studs was winning the stakes, and hell, I was getting to do them every week. So he decided during the breeding season, he'd just go every week.
Right. It's been fun. Yeah. It's been a really good couple of years for, especially for the 3 big guys that are proven. So they're all of Derby horses, and you know, yeah. there's a lot of buzz, so we're excited.
You know, awesome again. And it's very hard for a horse to outsire himself when the quality. You know, here's a right. horse that would he win $4.3 million yeah. won the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah,
you know, and he's hired two horses. One, of course, Go Zapper,
mm-hmm.
Hall of Famer, better horse than he was.
Right. Yeah, probably so.
And Game On Dude, he's equal.
Getting there. Yeah, he's now his leading earner since the last win in the Big Cap. He's moved to pass Go Zapper to be Awesome Again's leading earner, $3.7 million.
Yeah. So he is really, that's a remarkable thing because you start thinking about that, you know. Top race horses mm-hmm. outsiring themselves.
Yeah, I think it is really, in terms of genetics and breeding, the measure of a real stallion or sire of whatever species is when they can yeah. throw better than themselves. Yeah. And that's how you know they're good, and certainly he's fit the bill there.
And it's hard for a really great race horse. Of course, you couldn't expect Man of War or Secretariat to outsire themselves.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And although, I guess, well, Man of War had his best two sons were, of course, War Admiral and Crusader. And War Admiral was Triple Crown winner, but he was no Man of War. Man right. of War, you know, Riddle sent bad mares to him. I mean, they were garbage. They started out breeding nice mares to him. And then later on, rest his soul, he decided, well, hell, you can breed a billy goat. To him, well, a nanny anyway,
right.
and get a runner, and the quality of his mares really dropped.
That's
for
right.
instance, War Admiral was out of a mare that couldn't outrun me, and she didn't stand 15 hands.
Wow,
at a brush up, but you know those two kind of horses. But you know, stop thinking about other horses. How a Bull Ruler was a horse that did it.
Right.
He outbred himself.
Sure.
And can you think of many more that did that?
I think there are several. I mean, you look at a horse like, you know, Distorted Humor right now. There are a lot of current horses that, you know, maybe weren't grade one winners at the track, but they go on to be good stallions. You know, he's a good stallion too. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are plenty out there. Some horses just didn't maybe have the opportunity at the track that they, you know, like a horse like Danzig only made, was it three starts?
Yeah. Well, he certainly outbred himself, you know.
Yeah. You know, and you've got more kind of modern horses or current horses like, you know, maybe Malibu Moon and horses like that didn't do much on the track or didn't have many starts, if any. And
yeah, but those kind of horses, you know, if they had sired a stakes winner, they've outbred themselves.
Well, right.
Right?
Yeah, without maybe having the racing opportunity.
But Tom Fullside Buck Passer.
Right.
So that he probably, I don't know if he outbred himself or not, but at least of equal.
Yeah, well, it's definitely true. A good stallion that was a good racehorse, you know, if they're a great stallion, they're going to throw better than themselves, and that's the measure of a great one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you shouldn't have any trouble selling seasons to him.
No, he's doing well. He's, you know, I'm really happy with the quality of the mares, too. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, that's what you look for now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And people that, you know, want to spend that kind of money on a stallion nowadays, when times are still pretty tough, at least commercially, you know, or at least they're uncertain, if not tough. People that want to spend that kind of money usually mm-hmm. send just a really great mare, and they're often the breed to race breeders. And, you know, we all have to do business with those people. It's great yeah. to get keep the families going and have the stallions be part of that.
Yeah. And it looks like Go Zapper, the longer they run, the better they get. You know, I mean,
it
appears to me, I mean, he's getting momentum now as a top
horse.
He
is, yeah. And, you know, he's well capable of throwing good 3-year-olds too, and he's had some very good 2-year-olds, but his progeny get better with age, and mm-hmm. Awesome Again, his progeny do likewise. They both got better with age as racehorses, and now, you know, Go Zapper's progeny are doing what we really expected them to do, which was get better, you know, as they got older. And so, you know, he's had stakes winners from 3 years of age to 6 years of age this year alone already, and you know, and he had Mystical Star's a 5-year-old, and she's had a good comeback race last week, so maybe we'll see her in the Spinster again. Hopefully she was second in it last
year. Boy, he was a freak on a racetrack, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was.
You know.
Yeah.
Was he was an easy vote for Hall of Fame.
I think so. You know, I think so. They didn't ask me, but I know which way I would have leaned.
They asked you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to vote for some reason. Right. Yeah, I don't know why, but they... I voted for him, so right. You tell Eric now.
I will. Right. I will. He might be listening.
All right.
You might get a text here.
There you go. Yeah. Let me get a commercial break in here. I want to talk to a little bit more about you. Top rank of Tappet, he ranked fourth on the list of leading sires last year. Stud fee is now $125,000. One of Tappet's fastest son was Trapshot. Trapshot won the Grade 2 True North. He won by 8.5. 6 furlongs and 8-4. He won the Walterboro Stakes in 9 flat. Carried his speed around 2 turns to win $175,000 at Long Branch at Mama. Spent his 7 furlongs at Belmont and to take a top allowance race, winning by 4 and 122 flat. Allowance race by nearly 13 lengths at Gulfstream, 6.5 furlongs and 116-1. Sprinted 6 furlongs and 9 flat when he broke his maiden, winning by over 10 lengths at Gulfstream. Trapshot ran second in the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, beating Game On Dude and Super Saver. Second in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt, earned over $703,000. A half-brother to the Grade 1 Stakes winner millionaire Miss Shop from a great family. Trapshot's first foals were arriving this year to rave reviews. Stands for $10,000 doing a full stanza nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, the only son of Sire Stormcat to rank above Stormy Atlantic on the 2012 leading sire list was number one Giant's Causeway. Through 2012, Stormy Atlantic had sired 74 stakes winners and new stud fee. Now, it's climbed to $30,000. The leading money winning among Stormy Atlantic's 74 stakes winners is Get Stormy. Get Stormy retired with earnings of over $1,606,000. After winning 9 stakes, 3 of them Grade 1 stakes. His Grade 1 stakes wins came at 3 different tracks, Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and Gulfstream. Led all the way in all 3. He also won 3 stakes at Saratoga, 2 of them Grade 2 stakes, plus Grade 3 stakes at Keeneland and at Churchill, and a stakes at Monmouth. He was a dangerous competitor wherever he was asked to run. Get Stormy standing his first season at stud for $5,000, due on the full stands and nurses at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Superb individual, your inspection is encouraged. Call the farm, 859-252-3770. Always inquire about breeding incentives and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, I'm talking to Cormac Braddock from down at Edina Springs. Native of Ireland, is that right? Where were you born over there?
I was born in Galway, which is a town on the west coast. It's just straight west from Dublin. It's about the fourth biggest city in Ireland, about 80,000 people.
Okay.
It's a great spot to go visit. It's a university town. There's always something going on. And the big race meeting at the end of July into August.
Ah.
About a week-long race meeting. It's a huge draw from around Ireland and even internationally. Huge crowds and big festival atmosphere.
You work for the Chamber of Commerce over there or something?
I just miss it, is all, sometimes.
Okay. Was your family in the horse business?
Not directly. I mean, my father was always a big fan, and I don't really know where my interest came from, but my parents tell me some of my first words were the stallion names of the time. There's some old dog-eared pacemaker magazine still at home that I had from the 70s, and, you know, Dad and I would go racing regularly. We never really worked in the industry. You know, he was a teacher. Did the pony club thing and fox hunted some and, you know, rode all the time growing up and followed racing every chance I got.
So you got to be a little bit nutty to do the fox hunting over there. Jackie used to fox hunt, and she's got some tapes of what, Jackie, which were those?
Black and Tans, the scar team.
Oh, yeah.
And Limerick.
And Limerick, yeah. Those are 2 of the best.
Yeah, Black and Tan and Limerick, right? I never saw so many Irishmen falling in ditches in my life.
Yeah, whenever I went out, it would have been with the Blazers in Galway, and we have a lot of rock walls, a lot of stone walls, and some pretty big ones, but we don't have the ditch and bank country that they have, you know, a little bit south and east.
Yeah, you never hunted in the ditch. Didn't go down in the ditches.
No. No,
but it's remarkable. I mean, you got to be nutty to do that. That's like steeplechase riders. You know, they got to be a little bit on the wild side, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's bred in you Irish, though. I don't know. I believe it. The main thing is the pub afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sometimes before.
Yeah. Did you go to school over there?
I went through college there. First time I came over here was the summer of 95. It was after my third year in college. I worked at Alltech, got some work experience over here for the summer.
Okay.
And then when I was here, I saw the Gluck Center on Nicholasville Road there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was graduating with a science degree in biotechnology, and I wanted to come back here mostly to be in the horse industry and to do these things. And a way to get back was to, you know, pursue my studies, which I came back to do, and moved here in 96 and been here since.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did you first start with the horse farm thing?
I worked a little bit during my graduate work for Jackie Ramos out at Ashley Stud in Paris. Yeah, she's kind of got me started. She's a person I'm most indebted to for, you know, showing me the ropes and getting me, you know, into the business a little bit here. So I worked for her part-time to try to get by and supplement the student wage. And then when I finished, I was at 11 years in research, basically, at the Gluck Center most of that time. So when I finished there, that was 2007, I worked for myself for a couple of years as an agent and did some work for some people in Ireland and a few other people over here. Mm-hmm. And then was hired by Adina in 2009.
So you've been there for 4 years.
Coming up 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Were you there before they moved to Bourbon County?
No. Actually, my first breeding season there would have been 2010, and it was either the second or third.
They've been down there that long?
Yeah, I think 2008.
Wow.
I think maybe they moved in the summer of 2008, and 2009 was the first breeding season, or else a year earlier, I can't recall.
Yeah. Huh. With the Gluck Center, and that's what kind of research were you doing?
I worked for a guy called George Allen, Dr. George Allen, who was the leading, I'd say without much argument, the leading equine herpes virus researcher of the last 30 or 40 years. He's the one who really, towards the end of his career, he identified the difference between the strain of EHV1 that causes the neurologic problems that we hear a lot about now versus the sort of more routine strains that are still a problem, but not to the same degree. So he helped identify the specific mutation in the strain that causes it to become a neurologic problem, and that was kind of the last really big thing he did. But he really moved the ball forward on EHV1 research and in terms of vaccine development and the understanding of the disease and everything about it. So I worked for him, did a PhD under him.
Yeah. What made you get out of that and go in with working for Adina Springs? Want to be closer to the horses?
Yeah, yeah. My motivation was always to be around the horses and be in the industry more directly. And so once I finished my PhD, for visa reasons and everything, I had to stay in my line of work. And so I stayed in research for another 6 years. And that was great. And I enjoyed it. But every chance I got, I was on bloodhorse.com or, you know, staying involved and doing things as much as I could, taking vacation during the September sale so I could go out and shortlist and do some work like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I knew once I got my PhD that was kind of mission accomplished and I was going to eventually, I wasn't going to stay in it as a career forever, you know.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it there too, and it was, you know, a great experience.
You enjoy selling seasons?
Yeah, I do. It's a really neat kind of job. It's different to anything I'd done before. But you kind of get to know more people and in a different way. So it's been really fun to, especially representing, you know, a farm like Adina, you know, with these great stallions, and they're mostly homebred stallions, and, you know, the Stronachs are very much breed to race and still are. Yeah. And so, you know, we get a lot out of the race results because that's really what we're looking to do is get the stallions to the right mares to get the right runners. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, the money that your stallions that you got that they've earned,
on a racetrack. Yeah. It's kind of staggering, you right. know, when you who's the Einstein? I guess is he the leading one? No, Awesome Again would be the leading one. Money winner at the races.
He is, yeah. He was 4.3, and Gosapper earned 3.4, and Einstein earned almost 2.9 something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tiago?
Tiago's 2.5, and Giacomo's about 2.5. Yeah. And yeah, and Macho Uno, about 2 million as well. He's the other horse.
Now, that's a horse that's really doing well, too.
Very well, yeah. And, you know, he did some great things in Florida in his first 4 years, and when he had Wicked Style win at Keeneland.
Uh-huh.
He was brought up to Kentucky, and so his first sire of our first crop of Kentucky sired foals were his 3-year-olds of last year,
mm-hmm.
and he jumped 60 spots on the general sires list. I mean, he absolutely just know really kind of moved up, you know, several more levels.
Well, that's because you booked all those mares to him,
and yeah, he got some good mares. He got a lot of support, so he's
Let me take a break and catch up here. Let's see how far down I am. Oh, Close Hatch is a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by First Defense. Did what was expected of her on March 9 at Gulfstream. Labeled a rising star after her seven length win debut at Gulfstream by the Thoroughbred Daily News, Close Hatches led at every pole in her first start around 2 turns to defeat a quality field that included Sweet Shirley May. That filly that ran second in the Grade 1 Spinaway. She was third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Against colts, incidentally. Close Hatches is being pointed toward the Gazelle in New York. Bred by Millsec, LTD, Close Hatches is owned by Judd Mott Farm. She's trained by Bill Mott. And the day before her win, Mott had shipped New Line, another runner from the first crop of First Defense, up to Tampa, where he was an impressive winner of a maiden special, going a mile and 40 yards on dirt. Second in his previous start in a maiden special Gulfstream, going a mile on the grass, New Line, won going away by 5. So add his name to the list of horses to watch from the first crop by First Defense. Soon to return to action is the highly promising Dundon Ale. Last year he won Group 3 Stakes, was beaten by just a photo second in Group 2 Stakes. He ran 4th of 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, I should say. Other recent maiden special winners by First Defense are Fire Garden at Gulfstream, Night Warden, another one at Tampa. First Defense won Grade 1 Stakes Sprinting on the Dirt. He's Bond Bridal Song out of Grade 1 winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, to the outstanding Sires Empire Maker in Chester House. Stands for 7,500 life old at Judmont Farm, home also of the Grade 1 Stakes winner and Grade 1 Sire Mizzen Mast. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is Brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, associates of McCauley Brothers did extremely well again in racing last weekend. Here the Ghosts on the Derby Trail after taking the Grade 2 San Felipe. It was bred by Will Farish and Lazy F. Ranch and raised at Lane's End. Of course, he is by Ghost Zapper. I better plug that while you're sitting right there. you all use McCauley products, too.
Yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. Yes, you do. And you know that 9 of the 12 Derby horses picked by Steve Haskins in the Blood Horse were raised on McCauley products.
Right?
9 out of 12. Isn't that amazing? Okay, anyway, let me get back to this.
It's not making it up.
The Grade 2 San Felipe was bred by Will Farish and Lazy F. Ranch and raised at Lane's End. A Humor, winner of the Grade 2 Las Flores, was bred by Stonerside Stable, Marula Park Stud, and Dr. Mrs. Walter Zent, raised at Tony Helms' Marula Park Stud. The 1, 2, 3 finishers in the Grade 3 Razorback were all raised on McCauley Brothers products. Cyber Secret was bred by the Paragon Farm of Brandon and Deanna Perry. Second place Golden Rod was bred by Dina Springs. Third place finisher Atagon was bred by Brandon C. Jones. And the $100,000 OBS Championship Stakes, Colt Division and Gildan Division, was won by Michael With Us, bred by Windstar Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse, and where service is as important as the quality of their products. To know more about McCauley Brothers, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
I'm heading down the highway.
I'm talking to Cormac Braddock from Medina Springs. And Cormac, that was, what was that, the just one that you put? No, ran second. Okay. Well, that horse has won stakes, though, hadn't he? Golden Ron?
I believe he has.
Yeah. What was he by?
I think Golden Missile, if memory serves.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Hey, Matt. Matt Howard just walked in. Do you know Matt? If you haven't met Howard, well, we'll introduce you before you got. You've avoided that.
yeah, I haven't had the pleasure.
All right. People tell me that the best-looking horse down there is Einstein. Do you think that's true?
You know, he's an incredible looking horse. He could be the best looking horse. It depends on, he's a big horse. He's 16.3.
Yeah.
Really a big, stretchy, scopy horse.
I'd love to see him. I'll have to get out there and see him.
Yeah. He's worth a trip. And actually that was the fun part when he retired late and came to the farm. He had such a following and such name recognition, just dozens of people came out to look at him and he sold himself on sight. You know, he's physically a very, very good looking horse.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he was dead game. You just had, you weren't going to outgame him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He was always there or thereabouts.
He was, and I actually think some of his best runs were in defeat. His last run, he was a 7-year-old in the Clark at Churchill.
Yeah.
It was 3 weeks after shipping to the West Coast for the Breeders' Cup Classic, where he just had to take up at the turn and was out of the race then. He was the top weight in the 14-runner field, and he was drawn on the outside.
Yeah,
and he was on dirt, which was probably by maybe a length or two not his favorite surface, and he came with a run in the stretch and he just missed by 2 necks, and he was beaten by Blame and Misremembered.
Yeah,
and you know
that was
2-3-year-olds, and yeah, that was Blame's kind of coming out party, it seems. So
yeah. That's great. You don't breed too many outside mares.
Yeah,
I mean outside studs.
Yeah, we do. I think you know in the last several years that's something Mr. Stronach has done more of, you know, sort of more in the last, say, 5, 6, 7 years. We've bred, I'd say, maybe a quarter of the mares go outside.
How many mares y'all have down there?
We've got 160 plus right now, and quite a few less than we used to. You know, we sold quite a lot 3 years and 2 years ago.
Yeah. After you moved to... Do you still own those two properties? Or no, you don't, one of them.
We own one of them.
Stone Street Steadings has got one, right?
Yeah, Stone Street owns the farm on 60. We still have a farm we call the Annex on Old Frankfort Pike, past Airdrie.
They call them back.
It's on the...
Yeah, it's almost in Franklin County, isn't it?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I've been down there. I went down there a long time ago for some reason.
Yep.
Lost, probably.
Yeah.
You married?
I am. I'm married. I've been married for about 7 years.
Is that right?
8 years, yeah.
How many kids you got?
Just one. She's a year and a half.
Okay.
Little girl.
And what's her name?
Anna.
Okay. Where'd you meet your wife?
We met at the Gluck Center, actually.
Oh, yeah, did you? She was working there, too?
We were both students there. We met about 99.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's from here?
She's from Virginia. From Lexington, Virginia, where VMI and Washington and Lee are.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful little town in about an hour north of Roanoke.
Okay. I've never been to Virginia.
Really?
No.
At all?
No.
Well,
I've been west, and where are you going?
I gotta go pick up pizza for the babysitter and the boys.
What are you doing with that? Oh, okay.
I'm Matt Howard.
Yeah. Matt manages the Gentry Farms right behind the train station over here on Johnson Road.
Right.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell him I said that.
The word.
They raise quarter horses, too.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they do. They had, in fact, an older filly or mare last year raced out on the West Coast.
It was
a champion quarter horse.
Right.
I'm interested. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Children?
One little girl, a year and a half old.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Met at the Gluck Center. Ooh,
they're both smart.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you taking the time to stop by.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
And it's fun talking to you.
You too.
And you never know what you're going to run into when you come in here, you know.
That's right.
I love Michael. Michael's a great guy.
He is.
Have you been over to Old Friends?
I have,
Yeah, that's a great place to visit, isn't it? Those old horses over there.
Yeah, he's done an incredible job.
You know, it's remarkable how they settle down, these old studs, when they get in there. You know that?
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah, he's had a few with warning labels on them that seem to just come to hand straight away.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right. And, you know, Creator was one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
He was tough.
He was tough. You might talk to Clifford Berry about him. He broke him as a yearling, you know.
Yeah, I heard you say,
Clifford did. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another crazy Irishman. All right.
Well,
thank you. It's nice talking to you.
You too.
I'm going to come down, get over there, and see you all. You know,
see Einstein, see you, say hello.
I'll sure do it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming by, and we appreciate it. And
anytime.
Stop in anytime.
Okay.
Bring your own beer in a folding chair. All
right. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is tomorrow. This is a parade downtown today. You in
it? I'm not in it. No, I'm
in. Why don't you tell Erica you should
get
up?
I'm going to be on the sidelines.
Okay.
It's not a parade. It's a line to the pub.
All right. Let me see where I am here. I'll try to catch up. Okay, I did that. Yeah, well, Jazzle is a sire of 3 stakes winners in his first crop. 2 of them Group 1 stakes winners, 1 in Europe, 1 in South America. He has a listed stakes winner in Europe, and 2 others are placed in stakes, the Fleet de Sizzle and Naja, the latter in the Arlington Classic. That's 5 first crop stakes horses. One of the best bred young sires in the world, Jazzle is one of 2 classic winners out of Broodmare of the Year Better Than Honor by Deputy Minister. His second dam won the Kentucky Oaks. Third dam was yet another Broodmare of the Year. Jazzle, $4,000 live foal, Shadwell Farm. Home also of Albertus Maximus, Daher, Interdob, Invisor, Mustenfar. Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and the Grade 1 Don. Earned over $1,328,000. First foals are arriving this year. Grade 1 winner Daher by Awesome Again from 9 starters, 8 winners, 3 stakes horses, including a multiple graded stakes winner. Graded stakes winner Interdob by Phone Trick is the sire of Head Hard Hook, winner this year of the Grade 3 Toboggan and the True Blue Stakes at Aqueduct. Hall of Fame nominee Invisor is sighing a solid 10% stakes horses from starters. Multiple graded stakes winner Mustenfar by Unbridled has 6 winners, 2 to place, 1 in stakes, and 5 of his 6 winners are multiple winners. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Bonds at Shadwell Farm. See the website, shadwellfarm.com.
This spring, make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Spring Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, March 19th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Brussels Road entrance across from the airport. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 19th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
Undefeated Verrazano, to quote the Thoroughbred Daily News, continued his impressive ride to the sophomore division with an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby last Saturday. Bred by Emery Hamilton and trained by Todd Pletcher, Verrazano led virtually all the way to win with speed and reserve, won by 3 lengths. He won his first start at Gulfstream by nearly 8 lengths and his second start by an astonishing 16 1/4 lengths, getting a mile and 134 4. He is the 116th stakes winner sired by More Than Ready, and Verrazano's win follows by days the victory of Stop Shopping Maria, a 4-year-old filly, by More Than Ready in the Ladies Turf Sprint Stakes at Gulfstream, in which he set a new course record, going 5 furlongs in 55-2. Annually ranked among the nation's leading sires, he is also ranked number 1 on the juvenile sire list. More Than Ready has sired 13 Grade 1 stakes winners worldwide. Stands for $60,000 doing a full stands of nurses at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, Machance Tim, 859-873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Thank you, Bessie. All right, this is from my good friend David Schweitzer over to KTA and TOBA, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association. And this is the breeders, Kentucky breeders, of stakes winners over the weekend. And here are the Ghosts, winner of the San Felipe Stakes, grade two at Santa Anita, and a son of Ghost Zapper, was bred by Will Farish and the Lazy F Ranch. Let's see, that one, no, don't have to skip that one. Cyber Secret, who won the Razorback Handicap at Oaklawn Park, is by Broken Vow, stands down at Pin Oak Stud. Cyber, the Razorback's a grade three race anyway, it's bred by Paragon Farm. That's Brandon and Deanna Perry. 1, 2, 3 finishers there. Incidentally, we all bred there. Second place finisher, Goldenrod in the Razorback. And just got beat ahead. He was bred by Dina Springs. And Anna Gunn, who ran third, was bred by Burden Jones. The Las Flores Stakes, grade three at Santa Anita winner, Rumor, was bred by Stoner Side Stables. Marula Park Stud and Dr. Mrs. Walter Zent. That's Walter and June Zent, I should say. The New Orleans Ladies Stakes at the Fairgrounds winner, Believe You Can. 4-year-old Philip, a proud citizen who stands over at Airdrie Stud. One of two. She's last year's Kentucky Oaks winner. She's bred by Brayden Jones. And running second, Imposing Grace was an Empire Maker. Running third, Young and Lovely was an Is Stan. Also bred by Brayden Jones, so very bred to 1-3 finishers there. Both, of course, in stand, also stands over at Airdrie Stud. The Maxim Gold Cup Handicap at Sam Houston winner was Unstoppable You, bred by the Mojalela Stables. Mojalela, I guess, Stables. Sorry about that if I mispronounce it. The Private Term Stakes at Law winner, Mr. Palmer, was bred by Mike Lawford, James Lawford, and Greg McDonald. The Camilo Urso Stakes at Golden Gate went to Hiding in Plain Sight, bred by Robert and Sheila Adams. The Suncoast Stakes at Tampa Bay, Manuka Honey, bred by Buck Pond Farm. And I believe that about wraps it up. No, hey, I've got one over in the Emirates Skyward Stakes, Group 3. At Maidan Race Course, went to Ronaldo the Wizard. That's a Spitestown. Of course, Spitestown stands at Windstar Farm, and he was bred by Gibraltar Group, another Kentucky bred. So we did pretty good last week.
Yeah, that's great.
Kentucky breeders. We did. Let's see. What can I do right now? Have I got time to talk? Let me do a Spendthrift Farm here, and then I'll talk a little bit about maybe talk about Bardstown. I got a little time to do that.
Sure.
Well, Spendthrift Farm's popular breed secure program is available to an impressive array of stallions. Let's take a look at them. Archer Charts won Group 1 Stakes, won stakes at 2 and again at 3, and earned over $822,000, and he's by the top sire, Arch. Donimus is a multiple graded stakes winner. He's by champion sire, Smart Strike. He's standing his first season at stud. Grade 1 Stakes winner, Lionel David, by Lionheart. Lionheart, a top 10 sire last year. From the family of Mr. Prospector. Notional, sire of stakes winner in his first crop, is a multiple graded stakes winner by the sire of Indian Charlie. Patty O'Prado won grade one stakes, earned over $1,721,000. He's by O'Prado, sire of Kitten's Joy, Medallion Dodo, Artie Schiller. Graded stakes winner and track record breaker, Temple City, is by Dinah Former, sire of 136 stakes winners. Tis Wonderful, an undefeated graded stakes winner at 2. By the great Tiz Now has proven his ability already to sire graded stakes winners, first crop race to 2 last year. Tizway, also by Tiz Now, is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1,359,000. Warriors Reward won grade 1 stakes. He's by leading sire Medallion Dodo. Wilburn, a graded stakes winner, is by the popular Bernardini out of graded stakes winner Moonlight Sonata. Outstanding prospects, all eligible for Spendthrift's Breed Secure Problem. Everything to gain, nothing to lose. Call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Mark Toothacker, or Ned Toffee at 859-294-0030. And see the website, SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty, I think I've got time to say a little something about Bardstown. we're going back to 1957 now. He was one of the leading handicappers. He was a foal of 1952. He's by Alibi. Out of Horse of the Year, Twilight Tear, Babooly, bred and owned by KMN, Jimmy Jones Training, Bardstown. Actually, he was the third stakes winner produced by Twilight Tear before she died, and she was just 13 years old when she died. So, great race mare. Of course, she also raced, she was a bully racing for KMN Farm. Bardstown, he didn't get to the races until he was a four-year-old in 1956. Yeah, he had a series of problems. He had bad ankles. He got a, when sometimes during his career, he had a knockdown hip, and he got over that. And by the end of his four-year-old season, he was ranked third among horses of his age behind only Swaps and Nazareth. So he was in pretty good company. Won nine of his 13s that year, 1956, with a second and third, nine of his 13 starts. 1957, he ran six times. He had four wins and 2 seconds. All six starts were in stakes. All six were under top weight. And all six were under Bill Hartack. I noticed Joe Estes, when he's writing something about this, referred to him as Willie Hartack. And I think he was doing it on purpose because Hartack hated to be called Willie.
Ah, funny.
In fact, I think, who was it? The guy that used to put out the Irish American down at, publish a paper, Irish American down in Louisville. Who was that guy's name? Mike. Mike. Anyway, he was teasing about that word, and he says, the thing to do is when you interview him after the race and say, Willie, when did you know you'd screwed up the race? And he wouldn't speak to you for the rest of his life. Anyway, Bardstown's first start of the year, 128 pounds, came in the 9-furlong Tropical Park Handicap. He drew the outside in the field of 16, and he beat Gray Phantom. He was Gray Phantom raced for Wheatley, I'm pretty sure. He was by Embryorx, I do know that. And he set a new track record, won a mile and an eighth in 149-4. Sending him over to Hialeah for the mile and an eighth McLennan Handicap over there. He carried 128 pounds. He got beat by Summertan, giving Summertan four pounds. Might as well give him $4. Now, Summertan was the son of Heliopolis, top flight racehorse, incidentally, champion two-year-old. Then he ran third that day was Switch On. Was in third in the McLennan. He was by a horse, and why I remember this one, I don't know, because maybe it's because probably only stakes winner he ever sired, a horse named Condiment. Anyway, he ran third. There was a slow early pace on that race, and he couldn't quite get there. 2 weeks later, in the $100,000 Widener Handicap, going a mile and a quarter, Hartack sent Bardstown to the lead. He was carrying 126 pounds, and he led all the way. He beat Mr. First, Switch On, Summertan, and that proved to be the last of Summertan's career, incidentally. He came out of that race in bad shape, and he's retired to stud. Went to stud over at Darby Dan. Hartack, last three starts of the year, he carried Hartack in 130 pounds. Bardstown did. He won the Appleton at Gulfstream Park over First Serve, Pieces of Eight, and Fabius. Fabius was a citation. He was a stablemate. A week later, in the $100,000 Gulfstream Park Handicap, he won that by a length and a half, beating Fabius. I think I said he was by citation, didn't I? He'd win the Preakness anyway. The previous year, Needles ran third, who had won the Derby. They went to mile and a quarter in 2:02, and he won under a stout hole, and he was 0.3 seconds off the track record, which was held by another son of this one was by Coaltown, another son of Bull Lee. Coaltown was by Bull Lee, of course, but anyway, another Claiborne Calumet horse. They sent him up to Garden State for the mile and eighth quarter, and he ran a dull race, ran third to Dull Brother, to a third brother, who was by Prince Quill out of Hildene, with Rico Tavi, who was by Rico Monte, an Argentine bred, finishing third, and that was Bardstown's last last race of the year. He came out of that with some ankle problems, but he came back, incidentally, in 1958 and won five more times and upped his earnings to over $500,000. But through 1957, he'd won 13 out of his 19 starts with 3 seconds and a third, only two times out of the money, and he'd earned over $408,000. He was, of course, a gilding. And so you never heard from him after he retired. I guess, I don't know, I guess they retired him out there, having the foggiest, but at Calumet Farm. Well, where's my list of winners from the Thoroughbred Center over the weekend? Big yellow tablet.
There you go.
Find it underneath there. There we go. How do you lose a, tell you how
yeah,
much.
It's only, you know.
Huh?
It's only a foot by foot and a half.
Well, I got four of them here. So, anyway. Okay, since last week's show, we have had 16 winners. And for the month so far, we've had 27 winners. 27 winners in 15 days. That's pretty good. 16 winners in 7 days is even better. And I did miss one from the previous week, which I made up. Dale Loveland had saddled a winner on Friday night down in Mountaineer. For some reason, I missed it. I don't know why, but I did. Other winners from the Thoroughbred Center were trained by, since last week's show now, by Larry Lay, Juan Rubalcava, Donald Hunt, Paul Garcia, Ben DeLong, Juan Rubalcava again, Tim Hsu, John Langemeyer, Tommy Short, Howard Rice, Bill Hickey. Bill went all the way to Charlestown.
Yeah.
Up there.
That's a haul.
That is a long way.
Yeah.
That's close up to D.C. But anyway, it went up one. So
about the easternmost of West Virginia.
Tim Hsu went pretty near that far. He went down to Oaklawn to win a race yesterday. He took a horse named...
That's far away.
Took a horse named Mineworks down to Hot Springs to win down there for Art Preston, for whom he trains. Larry Lay saddled another one. Floyd Cobb, no relation to me. That would have been my in-laws were Cobbs. My dad's sister was married to Henry Cobb.
Yeah.
Who was at one time, it was a business manager for C.B. Whitney.
Huh.
And then last night, Jimmy Cargan fired up a couple. He's back in.
Yeah.
He was over here on
that. Warm today. He was on his pony. Haven't seen that pony since the temperature went below 45.
That's Susie Shirtless' pony.
Yeah.
That pony's done everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Susie's always teasing Jimmy. She says, oh, that's a fine-looking pony. Then he started winning races last year, and she says that she would tease him. That pony's really moved you up, Jimmy. Okay. But anyway, he won two last night. He won the first and the last races down at Mountaineer. All righty. Well, let's see. It's about time to flick it in. No, we got about a minute.
Horse park today. A lot of good stuff going on. Those people are out there training horses that were wild yesterday or the day before, and they're working with them today and tomorrow, and they're riding them and jumping out, all kind of stuff. It's called the Road to the Horse.
Yeah, who was the guy that we went out to see that time? Very interesting.
Oh,
California guy.
The famous guy.
Yeah, one of the first horse whisperers.
Yeah. What's his always famous? Good heavens.
Yeah, from California.
Shy guy, he wrote that book.
You remember the horse, but you can't remember the man.
Yeah, well, that's always the way it is. Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't know me either.
Well, that's all right.
What the heck is? I'll think of it tonight, and I'll wake you up and tell you.
Don't you dare!
He was at the horse park, yes.
And it was really
big
interesting.
Big friends of the
big
queen.
Big crowd. It was a big crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, he went over and did the thing with the queen's horses, and she was so impressed.
Yeah.
I can hear people outside yelling the name, but I can't remember his name.
We've got a couple of books by him at home.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
Yeah, he could write, and obviously a pretty good reader. Well, where's this show? You going to put this show up here pretty soon now, Jackie?
I'm going to put it up this afternoon. I told our guests, in case the folks back in Ireland want to hear, it's UrsulaLasHorsetales.com. So that's kind of fun.
It's T-A-L-E-S, not T-A-I-L-E-S.
Yeah, T-A-L-E-S. That's what they say. You know what was funny? Where were we? Oh, no, I noticed our horses are coming in and their tails are dragging. There's mud. God, it's muddy. They got all these muddy tails. I come out here and look and, they don't have mud hanging off their tails. They're grooming them, show-offs.
Well, it's time to sign off, so... That music in the background means that's our cue.
Wait a minute. It's podcast live on stream live.
WLXG.
WLXG.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We'll talk to you next week, and thank you for listening.